from the Bavli, the first Mishnah, first Mishnah in Masachet Pesachim. Or la arba asar bodkin esachametz laor haner. It is a mitzvah of the Chachamim to check your dwellings on the night of Erev Pesach with the light of a candle. And any place that a person knows that, generally speaking, they do not bring the chametz into that place, there is no gezeirah of chachamim to check that place. So the Gemara asks the origins of this mitzvah, and the Gemara says explicitly that. According to the bare bones, the Oraisa level halacha, there is no requirement to physically remove chametz from your house. Right? Midoraisa batel belibo v'dayo. It is enough to nullify the chametz in your heart, and that's it. So I'm reading from the Ram on Daf Aleph of Maseches Pesachim. That he intends in his mind, in his thoughts. He doesn't have to verbalize it. He nullifies it from his dwelling, or from his domain, rather. Even if he knows that he has a refrigerator full of pizza and a cabinet full of flour or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's fine. He's no longer violates Bal Yirah and Bal Yamatzeh. V'tzarech min haTorah sheyivdok achrav b'chol makom shehu rogel lihi matza sham v'yibarenu min haolam im lo bitlo. If a person does not do this, did not do this nullification, right, and finds himself on Pesach with all this chametz in his house, then he needs to physically remove it. All right. And therefore Rashi says, Shebodken es hachametz kidei shelo yavur olav bebal yeroe ubebal yemotze. That's why Rashi says that the gezera of hachamim to physically remove the chametz from your house on Erev Pesach is in order to avoid the prohibition of bal yeroe and bal yemotze. Everyone jumps on Rashi on this comment because the Gemara says explicitly that it's not a d'oraisa imperative to do b'dikas chametz. The Gemara says explicitly, as we just read a second ago, midoraisa mevatel b'libo b'dayo. All you need to do is think about it in your head. You don't even need to say it. You just think, I am nullifying my chametz, and even if you have chametz in your house the entire Pesach, you're good. So why does Rashi say mevatel b'libo? Why does Rashi say that the imperative of chachamim to do b'dikas chametz is in fact doraisa, right? So this is a very, very important problem. That very often, Chazal, the Gezeros of Chazal, is not a new invention, okay? But rather, Chazal are saying that this is the way in which a person should fulfill the Doraisa imperative, right? A very, very good example of this, which I heard in the name of Rav Lichtenstein many years ago, is from the Rambam. I just actually thought of this right now. This is good to know. In the Rambam, in Hilchos Avelos, in Perek Yudal, the Rambam says the following, right? The Chachamim commanded that a person should conduct himself in various types of gemilus chasadim, the vakir cholim, la'achnis kala, to visit the sick, and to provide the means for a kala to get married, umelava es hames, and to bring someone to burial, right, to bring a Jew to Jewish burial, etc. V'chol elu harehim b'chlal mitzvas ase doraisa ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. All of these things are within the biblical imperative of loving your fellow. Right? Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So it seems that the Rambam is being so tzaratzma minei ube. He just started the sentence by saying that there are all these midrabanan mitzvos. All these things are midrabanan. And then in the end of the sentence he says all these are included in the doraisa imperative of ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. The idea being that midon raisa, a person has an obligation to fulfill the after the reicha kamocha, and the chazal injunction is not a new chiddush. It's not a yesh me'ayin, something new coming out of nowhere. No, the chazal are saying these are the best ways in which a person fulfills the after the reicha kamocha. These are the best ways to do it. you visit sick people, you make sure that a kala has the means to get into her chuppah, and your malabe sames, and all the other things that are listed over there. Similarly, and this is a very important kala, and we'll see this in a minute more clearly in the Rambam, the idea that Chazal were metaking bedikas chametz, which, as Rashi tells us, kidei shelo yavor al bal yeroen or bal yematzah, in order to avoid the prohibition of not having chametz in your possession, they're saying there are many ways to do this. You could get rid of your chametz in multiple ways. You can eat it. You could be mevatel levadayah. That's also a possibility. However, chachamim are obligating you. This is the way to avoid this prohibition. This is the way to do it. The way to get rid of your chametz on Pesach is to physically remove it from your house. Yeah. And yes, as I'm sure you all know, because you're bekiyim in the first parak of Pesachim, that the Gemara does say that there is a chashash, there is a practical consideration of shema yimotzei gelus kayafeh, that you're going to find, you know, a nice roll hiding under your couch during Pesach, and you're going to come to eat it possibly, or you're going to intentionally reacquire it. That is a practical consideration. However, more fundamental than that practical consideration is that Chazal are telling you this is the way to fulfill the prohibition, or to avoid the prohibition more precisely, of Bayera and Bayamata. This explains some very, very important points in the Rambam that we find in Perek Beis, Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam starts off with the following lashon: Mitzvas asim min haTorah lahashbis haChametz kodem zman isur achilaso. It is a commandment, a positive commandment in the Torah, lahashbis es haChametz, to remove the chametz from your possession. So we can look at it right in this way. It's two sides of the chametz coin. Is the mitzvah aseh lahashbis es haChametz, right? That's the positive mitzvah, lahashbis haChametz. And then if you don't do that, then the person is over on Bal Yeroen and Bal Yematzeh on Pesach. Yeah, there's the mitzvah aseh lahashbis es haChametz. Okay, and we piyach Shmuel lamdu sherishon zeh. When the Torah says that you have to remove the chametz on the rishon, on the first, it's not saying the first day of the Chag, but rather Arba Asa, talking about Erev Pesach. Okay? Umayash Basa Amur B'Torah, this is Halacha Beis. Shivata L'chametz B'Libo, V'yachshav Ozo Ka'afar. A person thinks in his mind that he is removing all the chametz from his possession. Umidivrei Sofrim, Halacha Gimel. And from L'chachamin, L'chapes Achar Achametz, B'machvos V'chorim B'libdok L'hotzi Mikol Gvulo. To search all around your dwelling, and to physically remove all the chametz from where you are. Yeah. And then the Rambam says, okay, Baleil arba asar mashbisin es hachametz, and therefore, okay, on the night of the 14th of Nisan, that is when we fulfill the mitzvah ase d'oraisa of lahashbis es hachametz. Yeah, this is very, very precise. Halacha Aleph, mitzvahs asid lahashbis es hachametz, right? And midoraisa, you could just be mevatel levadayo. Halacha Beis, the midivrei sofrim, to physically remove it from your dwelling, right? And Halacha Gimel, we are mekayim the mitzvah of hashbas es hachametz, meaning the mitzvah doraisa. We are mekayim in this way. That's how you are mekayim the mitzvahs asid doraisa of lahashbis es hachametz. Yes, could you have done it in a different way? Yes, you could have done it in a different way. But Chazal are telling you, the mitzvah of Chazal is to fulfill the mitzvah in this way. Okay? This answers a very, very interesting question that many of the Achronim have on the Rambam further on in the Torah, in Halacha Yud. Okay? As we know from the Gemara talks about all these strange situations. A person leaves their chametz outside, right, unattended to, and the rats come, and the cats come, and the weasels come, and they distribute it, right? They redistribute all the chametz to the whole neighborhood, right? These crazy stories about how, right, all these re-chametzifying all the houses after they've been checked thoroughly, right? It's like the worst nightmare of every Jewish mother, okay? Laid out in very, very precise detail. So one of the halachos is the following. This is halacha yud, in the same parak. Ki niach tisha tziborin shel matzah. Person leaves nine piles of matzah out in the middle of the street. The echad shel chametz, and one of the tziborim, meaning the tenth one, okay, is chametz. Uva akbar, and a rat comes, v'notal, and takes it. V'lo yadanu im chametz im matzah notal. You don't know which one it is, right? You don't know if it's the chametz one that he took, or if it's the matzah one that he took. V'nichnas labayis baduk, and he goes and enters into a house that was checked. It was checked already. And they did what they were supposed to do the night before. Okay, but he brings it back into the house. Sarech livdok shakola kavua kemechza al mechza. Right, you have to recheck the house again because the rule is, and this is the Gemara in Ksubos and Daf Tesvav, that talks about this idea that the idea of kavua. Right, we have the idea of a mixture. Right, if something, right, if things are mixed together, then we go after the rove, or in some contexts we go after shishin. It depends, right? But that's only when there is a mixture that is indiscernible, an indiscernible mixture. However, when something is kavua, when something is in a stable and non-moving place, okay, then the whole thing is, the whole mixture, so to speak, is 50-50. The context of that Gemara, by the way, is talking about where you have a marketplace where there are, you know, every store in the marketplace sells food that is kosher, and one store in the market sells treif. Okay, if random, right, random food comes out of the market, okay, you have to assume that it's treif. Why is that? You say, well, it's 99 out of 100, it's kosher, right? But because of the din of kavua, and this is a din d'oraisa, kol kavua kemechza al mechza, and this is bein l'kula bein l'chumra, right? Meaning it's always considered 50-50, okay? So the Rishonim asks on the Rambam, okay, fine, it's 50-50, right? It's 50-50, meaning, you know, half likely that it was hummus and half likely that it was matzah. Okay, but something to Rabbanu Makula. Right? If the whole thing that we're talking about now is whether or not I have to check the house again, then it's a suffix, right? Kol kavua kemechzal mechza. It's a perfect suffix. It's a perfectly balanced suffix. So something to Rabbanu Makula. Why do I have to do it again? Right? I already checked it. I already did what I needed to do. Okay, I was already batel all my chametz in my heart. So I mean, d'oraisa, I'm done. Right? So why is it I have to check it again? Right? So it's interesting, the Magen Mishnah brings from the Ra'ah, from Rav Aaron HaLevi, okay, a Talmud of the Ramban, that he wants to say the following, Shatam da'afo gab desfeke d'rabbanani, even though it's only a d'rabbanan suffek, kevan shebedikas chametz chilasa al ha-suffek, okay, since the whole takana of Chazal was only because of a suffek, meaning it could be that you don't have any chametz in your house. It's all minhag that people, they hide chametz in the corners of their house so that they'll have something to find. That's not nekir hadin, right? This is a minhag alpi nister. It has its roots in the Arizal, although it's not in the Kisvei Arizal as far as I know. Right? It's something that's said in the name of his Talmidim, that to hide 10 pieces of chametz because of its inyanim alpi sod. But according to the strict halacha, even a person, you know, knows with relative certainty that there's no chametz in his house, he still has to check, even if he's not going to find anything. You make the bracha al bedikas chametz, zeh, you check. Well, it's not al bedikas, al biur chametz, right? Which only strengthens, by the way, the point that we're making. Meaning the bracha that Chazal koveya is al biur chametz, right? Because you're fulfilling the mitzvah of biur chametz, doing this action. Anyway, be that as it may. The Chazal are metaking this mitzvah al asavik. It could be that you're not going to find anything. It could be that your whole house is chametz free. You still have to check. Okay? So since the whole takana is based on a safek, so still, so to here, even though it's only a safek, so you have to go check again. That's what the Ra'ah wants to say. Yeah, go ahead.
If what you were saying before was true, meaning that it's, this is really just, this whole bedika is just the way that, it's like a Darabonan way of like how the Torah wanted us to do it, the Darabonan telling us is how you do it. The mind, that's better, it seems like a better answer.
What?
Why wouldn't you just say that as the answer to this question?
So I'm saying you can answer the Rambam with that Yisod, right?
Okay.
What the Rambam is saying like this. Listen very carefully. This works out beautifully. Okay, if what we're saying is true, okay, that the takana of bedikas chametz is Chazal telling you, when you remove the chametz from your possession, do it this way. This is the way to be mashbis as chametz. Okay, so mimela. Okay, if you have a suffix of mechza al mechza, meaning kavua, okay, that means d'oraisa, there's now a suffix d'oraisa if there's chametz in this house. There's a suffix d'oraisa if there's chametz in the house that you just checked. So mimela, that reactivates the chiyuv d'rabbanan to check the house. Because if the chiyuv of checking the house is now activated, so mimela, all what's also activated is the mitzvah of the d'rabbanan to remove the chametz in this way. It's not enough just to be about the belief of a dial. Yeah? This is the Yisod. This is, right, the Hashbasas Chametz, the Hashbasas Chametz, okay, the mitzvah of making sure that we are Chametz free, okay, by Yom HaRishon, again, the first day being entering Pesach. Entering Pesach is called Yom Rishon. The Yom Rishon is not the day of Pesach. No. It starts Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is the Yom Rishon. That's when the Avoda starts. Yeah? Yeah. And continuing from the Ran where we left off, I'm not sure where I closed that before. It's on the same daf. The Ran says brings up another interesting question, which is also discussed at length in many of the Rishonim and Achronim in different sugyas. And as we will see, this is a very, very important yisod. So says the Ran, Umau inyan bitul ze. What is the nature of this bitul? Okay. Muchach b'gemara hadar min habodek tzarich shivadol the bitul midin hefkeru. Okay. That this beetle that we're doing, when you say I am nullifying my chametz, it is akin to the din of hefker. It's a din in choshen mishpat. It's a din mamos. Okay, you own the chametz, and you're now relinquishing ownership of the chametz. That's a din in hefker. Okay, so asks the Ran. Okay, v'vadi d'le'inyan hefker mamono hefker b'libo lo mahane. But how does that work out? Because we know that hefker, actual hefker, meaning to relinquish monetary ownership over something, to be mevatel b'lev doesn't work. It's not enough to just think about it. You have to declare it. Not only have to declare it, but you have to declare it in front of people, as the Gemara in the Nedarim says. Okay? Okay, come on. Let's go into the technicalities of hefker. But the point is that for sure it's not enough just to think about it. And it seems that there have to be people present in front of you. You have to declare it to people, that people know that you are deciding to relinquish ownership of this thing. And lahanim taima. So says the Ran. The reason for this distinction that the beetle of chametz does not comport with the dinim of hefker in dine mamnos. The reason for that is, okay. The nai demai dahave b'rushuse deinish lo matzi mafker le ki hai gavna. Something that's actually in your possession. If you actually own something, you're not able to be mafkerit in that way. It doesn't work, right? I own this cell phone, okay? I can't be mafkerit by just thinking about it, okay? Chometz shiny. Chometz is different. Why is that? Lefi she'einu b'rishuso shel adam. Because it's not really in your possession. Ela she'aso akasov ki'iluhu b'rishuso. Right? The Torah decreed as if it's in your possession. As the Gemara says, shtei dvarim einu b'rishuso shel adam. There are two things that are not in the possession of a person. And it's as if, right, you suffer the consequences as if it's in your ownership. What are those two things? Chametz on Pesach, and the second one, new and delicious fee. Don't disappoint me. Bor b'rishus haradam. The person digs a hole in the middle of the street. He doesn't own the hole because it's public property, right? But if someone falls in the hole, okay, he suffers the consequences if it is his property. Yeah? So similarly, chametz on Pesach, okay, you don't own it. You don't own the chametz, okay? The chametz has been ripped from your possession, okay? But it's ki'ilu, it's in Bereshus, so le'inyin ma, le'inyin the fact that you are now violating Bal Yerah and Bal Yematzeh. Yeah? So listen to what the Ran is saying, Rabosai. That this is not a din in mamonos. Because b'lav hachi, the Torah is ripping it from your possession, whether you want it or not. The Torah, right, the chametz is being ripped from your possession. The question is, are you going to go along with the Torah's imperative? With this activation that the Torah is making, that once Pesach hits, once Pesach comes in, once the sun sets on the 14th of Nisan, okay, are you going along with that? And that's the beetle. The beetle is, I'm relinquishing my chametz. Take it. Take my chametz. Because it's being taken. It's coming to be taken, whether you like it or not. The question is, are you going along with it or are you not going along with it? And that's why this doesn't require the additional specificities that typically go along with regular hefker. Because regular hefker, it's all you, right? If you decide that you want to relinquish it, great. And if not, not. So you need to go through the steps that are going to produce that outcome. Yeah? But with chametz, it's not like that. Because it's being stripped away from you automatically. The question is, are you going along with it or not going along with it? Yeah?
According to that, it's real not minister right there. It means that it's not actually happening.
Sure.
When you say your Mivatla before an Erev Pesach, it means that the entire time from Erev Pesach until Pesach actually starts, it's not actually happening. According to what you're saying.
According to
what I'm saying, it's not
me. Yes, in Achanami. If you are mamatel, if a person is mamatel, their bag of pita, 7 hours before Pesach comes in, okay, they're just mamatel b'leiv, it's still theirs.
It's
still their own money. For sure. Yes. It's not hefker midin olam. It's not. Only once Pesach comes in is it.
Oh, okay.
Midin olam.
Is that pshat? Does everyone say that? Or is it just the Rav?
Does everyone say that? Meaning, has there been anyone in history that didn't say like that? I don't know. But no, I'll tell you, I'll just add something interesting that I also just thought of right now. Right? And as you all know, I'm not a big Achronim person, but I saw many, many years ago in a sefer Rav Chaim Scheinberg. He was handling about the gedder of Beetle in different contexts. So there's a Chedushe Harim in the Masechta Sukkah. You guys learn Sukkah? Anyone learn Sukkah?
Mm-hmm.
They write the Sukkah of if you have a Sukkah that's too high. Yeah? So instead of lowering the sukkah, which is very difficult, you raise the floor. Yeah? If you want to, shovel dirt onto the floor, then that for sure works. What if you just take a bunch of pillows from your... Right. There's a difference between different types of material. That's the whole point of the sukkah. If you shovel dirt onto the floor, then for sure it raises the level of the floor. Okay? What if you just take a bunch of pillows from your house and put them on the floor and you stand on the pillows and now it's a few inches, you look closer to the ceiling. So the Gemara says that's no good. Yeah, if you take objects from your house, okay, and put them on the floor, and then stand on those objects, that doesn't nullify, right? That doesn't make the sukkah, doesn't make the floor of the sukkah higher. Okay, so ask the Chiddush Arim, why doesn't that work the same way that Bitul Chametz works? You just mevatel b'libo, it's batel, right? Like, why can't you just be mevatel your pillows or whatever, your bookcase? You just batel, right? Say it's batel, and so, right? Okay? But, okay, according to this Yisod, Bitul Chametz has nothing to do with any other Bitul in the entire Torah. Nothing. It's a very, very unique and specific did. Bitul Chametz is, Perush, again, the Torah is coming to take away your Chametz. It's coming. Okay? The question is, are you going to hold on to your Chametz? Are you going to let it go? That's the question. And the Beetle is only saying, I'm ready to let it go. That's the din. It's a unique din which is not in any other place in the Torah. Okay?
Can you do Beetle for Borges Rabbin?
Who?
Can you Beetle Borges Rabbin as well?
Can you do the Beetle?
Can I just decide? I don't want this because I don't want to
go. Once you've dug the hole in Rosh Hashanah, it's the same thing as Chametz on Pesach.
So,
yeah, the only thing to do with Chametz on Pesach is to destroy it, right?
Right.
Can't be mevatel anymore. That's it. You have to destroy it. So similarly, once you've dug the hole in Rosh Hashanah, so the only thing to do is to cover it back up. Right? Beetle is not. It's not relevant. You could be mevatel Rosh Hashanah. There are people that have tried to do that and it didn't work out. Right?
Just try mevatel all of public property.
Just to understand this Yisod, okay? To understand this Yisod that we're talking about, okay? By Yom HaRishon, on the first day, why did the Torah phrase it in the first day? That this avoda of lahash this is chametz, to get rid of all your chametz, okay? Is the Yom HaRishon, why did the Torah say that? It's so misleading, right? Yom HaRishon is the 15th of Nisan. That's when the holiday starts. It says explicitly, right? From the 15th of Nisan to the 21st of Nisan, you have a 7-day holiday. By Yom HaRishon is the 15th. What's this thing about the 14th? That the whole point, Ragosa, is that the avoda of Pesach starts on the 14th. And this avoda is inherently a passive avoda. It's the preparation. It's the preparation for what is being, for what is about to happen. For what's about to happen. I'm reading from Pasuk in Yechezkel. Okay, in Perek Chaf. These prakim are really vital because what they're doing essentially is giving over a recap of Jewish history, okay, in the context of what's going on now in the door of Yechezkel, okay? Bayomahu, this is Perek Chaf. I'm reading, starting from Pasuk Vav. Bayomahu nasasi es yadi lahem lehotziom eres Mitzrayim. I decided that I'm going to remove the Jewish people from Egypt, okay? Ba'omar lehem, and I came to them and I told them. This is what I told them. I told the Jewish people the following, okay? Ish shikusei enav hashlichu. Okay, the abominations of your eyes, get rid of them. And do not contaminate yourself with the abominations of Egypt. But they didn't do that. They rebelled against me. They didn't want to listen. Ishas, you could say, they didn't get rid of the abominations of their eyes. And the disgusting, right, contaminating entities of Egypt, they didn't leave. At that moment, they didn't agree to go along with this plan. I intended to just wipe them out. The chalos ha'pibahem, v'socharis Mitzrayim, to just wipe out the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Va'as leman shemi, levilti heichel le'nei agoyim asher hema b'socham. But in the end of the day, Yitzias Mitzrayim was necessary to be a kiddush Hashem Shamayim. If there's no Klal Yisrael, there's no kiddush Hashem Shamayim in the world. And that's why the Jewish people were let out. What is this a recap of, Rabbosai? This is a recap, and I think I might have shared this with some of you here before. This is a recap of the beginning of Parshas Va'era, where Moshe comes to the Jewish people, and he gives them a whole speech. He tells them, I swore to your forefathers that I was going to give them Eretz Canaan, and now you're here enslaved in Egypt, and I heard your tefillos, and I've come to save you. Okay? V'lo shom'u el Moshe. They didn't listen to Moshe. Because of their downtrodden state, that their spirit had been sapped from them. What was the lo shamu? What was the not listening? Moshe was telling them, get ready for Geula. The Geula is coming. Relinquish your attachments to the Gilulei Mitzrayim. Get rid of it. But they couldn't. They couldn't do it. They couldn't let go of the Gilulei Mitzrayim. Okay? Just to understand what this means, we're talking about the state of Klal Yisrael, that they are all but completely assimilated into Egyptian culture, to the point that, right, as we know, Chazal say that the Jewish people are being saved in the Yom Suf, right, in a supernatural, right, one of the most spectacular shows of breaking nature that could possibly be. And the Malachi Asher, Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halalu Obdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Obdei Avodah Zarah. The Egyptians are idol worshippers, and the Jews are idol worshippers. Why are you saving these guys and drowning these? There was almost no discernible difference. Yeah? And the condition, so to speak, for being saved from Mitzrayim, okay, the only condition that they had was let go of the Gilulei Mitzrayim. Let go, because I'm coming. I'm coming to take you. Just let go of what you're holding on to that you can't bring with you. This you can't bring with you. And they didn't do it.
It says,
Va'as Laman Shemim, Leviti Hechel. I did it for the sake of my own name, meaning, right, for God's name, so that it shouldn't be desecrated. Yeah?
What does it practically mean because of the Avos? Does it essentially mean the Avos because you promised something to the Avos?
The idea that something is promised to the Avos doesn't just mean that God doesn't want to break his promise with the Avos. What that means is that there is now a Klal Yisrael program. This is the plan. The plan is that Klal Yisrael will be the conduit by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests his name in the world. Right? Atem Eidai Nu Mashem. You're now my witnesses. That's it. Right? I'm stuck with you guys. Yeah? So if there's going to be a Kiddush Shem Shamayim in the world, it has to be via the historical narrative of the Jewish people in the world. And if the Jewish people are destroyed in Mitzrayim, then that's it. There's no more Klal Yisrael. The kolbo that I was spent a lot of time looking for, and unfortunately I couldn't find, I'm almost positive it's in Siman Nun Aleph, and perhaps in this version, I'm pretty sure it's in Siman Nun Aleph. The kolbo gives an incredible, incredible explanation for the minhag that is brought in Maseches Sofrim, that the firstborns fast on Erev Pesach. Okay? Very often this is associated with Makos Bechoros. Okay? That the Jewish people were also in some way vulnerable to being wiped out in Makos Bechoros, and the fact that they didn't was a unique salvation for the Jewish firstborns. So in order to be in the proper state of trepidation and to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not wiping them out, so they have this day of fasting and repentance. That's typically the reason that's given. That's not explicit in the Maseches Sofrim, but that is typically the reason that's given. Okay, everyone asks the question why it is that the women firstborns don't fast. Because as we know, explicitly in Chazal, all the firstborns, the men and the women, were wiped out. But there's no minhag for women to fast Erev Pesach. Says the Kolbo. Listen to this. Kolbo says, the firstborns of the family, okay, were the Kohanim. Yeah? Because I'll tell us, right, the kahuna was taken away from the firstborns because of the Egel. Yeah? And given over to Shevet Levi. But until that point, okay, the Kohanim of the whole nation were just each firstborn of the family. That was the designated Kohen. That was the designated priest, okay? These Bechoros, okay, the firstborns of the family, they were the ones that were the, I don't want to say instigators, but they were the collective messengers of the Jewish people in participating in the idolatry of Egypt. Meaning when Yechezkel comes and rebukes them for being involved in the Gilulei Mitzrayim, right? He's looking primarily at the Bechoros. He's saying, and it's you guys that are keeping this show running. Okay? The fast of the Bechoros is the Kolbo. Okay? Is a repentance for the Bechoros for their role in maintaining the connection to Gilulei Mitzrayim. Because as Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Jewish people on Erev Pesach, okay, and tells them, get ready to go, because we're going. And you can't bring these idols with you. You have to get rid of the Gilulei Mitzrayim in order to come with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And they don't listen. And as a kapara, right, for that sin, okay, the Bechoros fast on Erev Pesach. And again, this is highlighting this theme that the Yom Rishon, the first day of the Avoda of Pesach, of the day of being saved from the strictures of Egypt, is to really be prepared to be redeemed. It's not a simple thing to be prepared to have redemption. The most important, most fundamental thing to be redeemed is to make sure that you are not latched on to the things that are keeping you in galus. That's the avodah. Reading from the first perek of Zephaniah. Zephaniah was a Navi that lived, we're going to see in a moment. He lived in a time in the relatively late period of Bais Rishon. And he has it's a rather dark message that he's giving over to Klal Yisrael. Dvar Hashem Asher Haya El Safania Ben Kushi Ben Gedalia Ben Amaria Ben Chizkio Bimei Yoshio Ben Amon Melech Yehuda. What time of history is that? We have Chizkio, who, right, creates this big, spiritual renaissance amongst the Jewish people. He removes all the Baal, he reopens the Beis HaMikdash, everything's great. He experiences this miraculous salvation from Ashur. His son Menashe takes the Jewish people basically back to where they were, not completely, but almost back to where they were at the start of Chizkiyahu. Okay? The son of Menashe is Amon, who he's so bad and corrupt that his own people kill him after just 2 years being in office, so to speak. Okay? Yoshio is the son of Amon, who in many ways brings back some of the loftiness of Chizkiyahu. Unfortunately, he has his own problems, but Yoshio is really, he comes to clean house after the, it's very, very long, it's a long period of time. This is 50, it's 55 years of Menashe. It's a long rule, it's longer than David HaMelech. 55 years of Menashe, okay, and then 2 years of Amon. So we're talking about two generations of, a really bad situation. So this is the period of time that Zephaniah is in, okay? Asof asef kol me'al pnei ha'adama nu'um Hashem. I will... Yeah, someone had a question?
Did Menashe do tshuva?
He did tshuva to the extent that he himself repented, but he didn't correct all the damage that he had done. It's also clear that he didn't really have enough time because he died shortly after he did that. Yeah. And by the way, the tshuva that he did is only mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. In Sefer Malachim, it doesn't mention it at all. It just says that he was brought into Galus by Babel, and that's it. Right? Implying that his tshuva wasn't really impactful to the extent, like in terms of his legacy. Yeah, he personally did tshuva. Right? As the Darshei Rishumos in Maseches Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadi Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, they say, right, the Mishnah lists Menashe as one of the people that don't have Olam Haba. Right, and the Darshei Rishumo say that no, he does have Olam Haba because he did tshuva in the end. Yeah, so like for him personally, so he was saved, but that didn't correct all the damage that he did to the Jewish people while he was king. Anyway, so Sefaniah is coming here, and he's telling, I'm going to now Le'esof, the reaper. I'm going to just kill all these problematic people. Asef Adam ubehema, Asef Ofa Shamayim, not only the people, but also the animals. Okay? The Hikrati Esa Adam Me'altane Adamam, I'm going to cut out their name from the earth. The Hikrati Mina Makomazen, et Shar Habal, Eshem HaKmarim Ima Kohanim, right? The Baal, the cult of Baal, the Lebanese idolatry known as Baal, the HaKmarim and their priests. Ve'es HaMishtachavim Ala Gogos, the Tzva Shamayim, those that set up places of bowing on the rooftops. Ve'es HaNesogim Me'achrei Hashem, and those who turn away from God. Hos Mipnei Hashem Ki Karov Yom Hashem Ki Echin Hashem Zevach Hikish Kruav. Ufokadati ala sarim val bnei amelach. He's speaking directly to the officers of the king. He's saying, yeah, you guys, all you guys in the government, all you corrupt people. The al kol halovshim malbush nachri. And all the people that wear the garments of the foreigners. Upakdi al kol hadoleg al miftan bayamahu hamemalim beis adonem chamas umirma. That use their positions to steal and rob from the population. So he's talking to people that are thoroughly corrupt at the religious level, at the cultural level, at the political level. They're just completely corrupt. Okay? Vahayo bayomahu, excuse me, vahayo ba'esahi, achapes es Yerushalayim baneros. I will search out Yerushalayim with candles, with a candle, okay? Ufokadati al ha'anashim, hakofim al shimrehem, ha'omrim bilvavam, lo yetiv Hashem, lo yoreya. All the people that go about stealing and robbing and doing all their machinations and saying, God doesn't see, God doesn't care, there's not going to be any consequences. Those people that say, God doesn't see, their houses are going to be desolate and wasted. And anything that they try to build and develop, they're not going to be able to benefit from. And they're going to, plant vineyards and not going to benefit from them. Yom Evra Hayomahu, and it's going to be a day of wrath. Yom Tzarah Mitzukah. So this is not pleasant, okay? And you think that you can hide, says God. I'm going to be mechapesis Yerushalayim Baneros. I'm going to seek out every corner with a candle and find every last one of you. This is very sinister, right? Reading now from the Bavli in Tzachim on the end of Daf Zayin. The beginning of Daf Ches. Tan Rabbanan. It does start at the very end of Zayin on the base. Tan Rabbanan. Ein bodkin lo l'or hachama v'lo l'or halavana v'lo l'or avuka. You can't check your house for chometz with the light of the sun or the light of the moon, or with the light of a torch. El or haner. Why is that? Nisha or haner yachol b'dika. Which is in fact the case. If you ever lit a torch, it's very, very hard to shine exact light, on a specific spot if you're trying to see something specific, because the light is flashing. Also, because you don't want to burn the house down, so you don't want to bring it too close. Yeah, the avuka is not something that you use if you want to check something. Vatal b'she'ein raya l'davar, even though there's no proof for this. Zeicha v'davar. Shenemar, as it says, Shivas yavim se'or lo yimotze b'otechem. Se'or cannot be found in your house. Ve'omer, and the Pasuk says, in Bereishis, by Yosef and his brothers, v'yichapes v'gadol heichel. Okay, he searched, v'yichapes. He searched, okay, in all the sacks to see who was the one that stole the magic goblet, okay? Va'omar, and it says, in Safanya, ba'esahi, Achapes es Yerushalayim baneros. I will search. I will do bedika on Yerushalayim with a candle. Ve'omer, and finally the pasuk in Mishlei, Ner Hashem nishmas adam chofes kol chadrei batel. It seeks out. It's mechapes the inner sanctum of your guts, essentially the chadrei batel. Not just the cheder of your house, that you have to make sure that, you know, it didn't accidentally fall any pretzels behind the couch. No, but the inner chadarim. People think this pasuk, they hear this pasuk, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, is some type of idea that there's, you know, there's a life giving flame, and that's the candle of God, and it's a, right. It's a, and that's true, but the point of the pasuk is not that. The point of the pasuk is the following: Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Okay, that is the tool by which you are able to be mechapes chadrei batim. If you want to check yourself out and do a real cheshbon nefesh and seek out the chadarim of the inner sanctum of your heart, okay, that's what the neshama is for. The neshama, the divine consciousness that a person merits, they can use that as a tool and they can shine that light on all the chadarim of their hearts. They can find what needs to be found and removed. And when Safanya says, I'm going to come with a candle and I'm going to check all the rooms and I'm going to find what needs to be got rid of and get rid of it, he's not just talking about the external reality. He's talking about an internal reality as well. I'm going to come with a candle. And what's my candle? The neshama. The neshama is my candle. And with that candle, I'm going to check, I'm going to find everything needs to be gotten rid of. And this is the introductory avoda. This is the avoda of the Yom Rishon, of the first day. The avoda doesn't start on the first day of Pesach. It starts on the day before Pesach. Why, Rabosai? Again, going back to the Ram, which is, again, the Inyan Dina, right? This is Halacha Lamaisa. The Geula is happening, whether you like it or not. The wave is coming. The only question that a person needs to ask themselves is, are they going to go and ride the wave, or are they not going to ride the wave? So that decision that you make, you don't make that decision when the wave is here. You make that decision before the wave comes. And that's why Yom Rishon is Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. And the decision that a person makes is, I'm going to let go of everything that I can't bring with me into Geula. And the tool that a person uses to do that is the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the candle of God that was implanted into our consciousness, with which we can shine on everything to be able to discern what we need to let go. It's not an easy question. We're talking about, right, if we just go back to the context of that parak from Yechezkel and think for a moment about what's being said. We're talking about a slave nation that is suffering terribly. They're groaning out of despair from the back-breaking labor. They're living as slaves, like actual real live slaves. Vayitzaku el Hashem, and they cry out to God. They want to be saved. Vayeda Elohim, and God knew, he decided, okay, I'm going to save them. Great, wonderful. And he sends his Navi to the Jewish people, he sends a prophet to them and says, okay, we're going out. And all you got to do is get rid of the idols, and we're going. And they don't do it. These are the people that are groaning from the work, right? They're crushed in heart and spirit. All they want is to be free. All they want is to get out. And they can't let the Avodah Zarah go. They can't let it go. And this is why the emphasis on the avoda is an avoda of hachana, of preparing to be ready for when the Geula comes. I just want to end off with an akuda that we find very fascinating in the Mechilta. We know that in Pesach Mitzrayim, in the actual holiday of Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were told to take from the blood of the Korban Pesach and put it on their doorposts, right? Al hamashkof ve'al shtei hamezuzos, on the lintel and on the two doorposts, okay? V'haya hadam lachem la'os. That's what the pasuk says. The blood will be for you as an os. Says the Mechilta, lachem la'os ve'lo la'acherim. It will be a sign for you and not for anyone else. Trivia question. Moshe, sorry, I'm picking on you. When's the other time that we have the idea of lachem lachalaos v'lo la'acherim? For you, it's a sign, but not for anyone else. The Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin. Okay, lachem laos. Okay, Laos, right? Laos al yadcha, right? That's the pasuk, okay? Lachal laos v'lo la'acherim. What do we learn from that pasuk? Lamaisa, right? That the tefillin shel yad should not be exposed. It should be in a place where it's actually not exposed to other people. Because it's your os, not for other people. The tefillin shel rosh is different. The tefillin shel rosh is an os for other people. Right? 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 V'yukol ha-me'aretz, the pasuk in Dvarim. V'yukol ha-me'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'arumi necha. They're going to see that the name of God is upon you and they're going to be in awe of you. Right? It says in Gemara in Brachos, el tefillin shel rosh. So there's a duality over here. What you expose, what you project outward, and what's only for you. The tefillin shel yad is for you. It's an os for you, which is kind of counterintuitive because an os, a sign, it's something that you wanna project outward, right? A stop sign is a sign so that people will see it and stop. Right? You don't make the stop sign and then cover it. So it could be a sign for you. It sounds like an oxymoron. A sign for you. But no, this is the idea. It's a sign for you. You have to know that this is what's going on. Everyone else is doing their own thing. That's not your concern. It has to be an os for you. And similarly, the blood was a sign for you. The blood that was put on the mashkof al shtei mezuzos was put inside the house. It wasn't outside. It was inside. They're all sitting inside, they're all dealing with the Karbon Pesach, and they put the blood inside on the house so they could see it. Yeah? It's not to be projected outward, it's so that you can see it. The Yesod that we want to highlight over here. Pesach. Just the pshat of what that word means. There's been a lot of discussion about about this word, and for the life of me, I don't know why it's such a complicated thing. The word Pesach, the shoresh of Pesach, Lashon HaKodesh, Pei Samaches, means to leap. That's what it means. It means to leap or jump or anything. Anytime where that shoresh appears in the Tanakh, that's the context. Okay? Zilio Anavi.
Poskim
ben Ashtei HaSifi. Right, exactly. Eliyahu HaNavi, he rebukes the people. He said, right, you're jumping from one end to the other. You're worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day, and then you're worshipping Baal the next day. You're jumping from one thing to another. Piseach, by the way. Right, someone who has some problem with their leg is called a Piseach. Why are they called a Piseach? Because when you're limping, when a person is limping, they're not walking in a smooth progression. They're hopping from right on this on the one foot. That's what limping is, right? You can't really use one of your legs, so you're kind of like hopping from one spot to another. Okay, that's what it means. Okay, Pesach means to leap. Okay, what is going on with the Pesach? It's translated. It's almost embarrassing for me to like enunciate this, but the translation of Pesach as Passover is implying that the idea of Pesach is that there's this makkah, right? There's this magifa that's going through Egypt on the night of Pesach, and it's killing all the firstborns. And when it gets to the Jewish house, it's going to pass over, and it's not going to kill everyone. That's what people think. But Rabosai, this is so wrong. It's so wrong. Okay? Just the pshat of the pasuk. Vayavor Hashem migofes Mitzrayim. This is the pasuk in Perek Yudbeis of Sefer Shemos. Vayavor Hashem migofes Mitzrayim. Vayares Adam, and God will see the blood. Okay? Uposach Hashem al haPesach, and God will jump onto the opening of the house. He will leap onto the house. Velo yitein lamashchis lavoa batechem go, and he won't let the mashchis enter. Meaning, what's the Pesach? God is jumping on the house and preventing the mashchis from coming in. Meaning the mashchis is let loose, as the Gemara says. Kevin sheniti in rishus lamashchis la'ashris. Once this destructive force is given rishus, ain't a machim in tzadik l'rasha. It just destroys indiscriminately. Okay? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, he's poseach al ha-pesach, he leaps onto the opening, and he won't let the mashchis come in. Right? It's like the bodyguard, that when there's a danger to whoever he's protecting, you jump on the person. You jump on him. That's the Pesach. Pesach means God is jumping on you. you're enveloped by the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not letting anything penetrate. That's the Pesach. Just the pshat in the pasuk. And I will say, this is what we're preparing for. preparing to be, right, to have God jump on you. To prepare for that. To prepare to, for God to jump on you and, the, and your family and the rest of the house to be ensconced within the Shechina. And as we say in the Haggadah, Ad Sheh Nigla Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechodo Ba'atzmo. When someone jumps on you, it's very, very hard not to notice. It's probably the hardest thing not to notice, when someone, right, when someone jumps on you. Nigla Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was the Gilu. If you didn't notice me until now, now you're going to notice me. And God jumps on you. Yeah? And in order to merit experiencing that, the Pesach, okay? In order to merit that, it requires the Avodah. It requires the Hashbasas Chametz, which is the external Hashbasas Chametz, and as we see explicitly from Chazal, not only the external Hashbasas Chametz, but also the Ner which is the Nishmas Adam, which is Chopeis Chadrei Batel. There's the Chadarim of the house, the Chadarim that you know that you brought Chametz into, and you have to make sure that you physically remove all the Chametz from those Chadarim. And then there's the Chadrei Batel. The Chadrei Batel, and it's the external and the internal. It's just two sides of the same coin, or both sides. The same thing, right? The external Chadarim and the internal Chadrei Batel. Mizrach Hashem. To merit the Ad Shenikla Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo B'Atzmo to be memale the Avoda of B'Hayah B'Yom HaRishon. Mishnah Kach.